Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it, any way you want it.
She loves to laugh, she loves to sing, she does everything.
Public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Good morning, Jerry Cooey. This will be part two of my continuing education series on political action committees. Today we're going to talk about America's First Alliance. You will find, if you do a little research, you will find that the lead person on that is Judith Sorensen. Interestingly enough, a friend of mine called the telephone number to ask some questions about it, and they were referred to Maria Calkins, which is the wife of Commissioner James Calkins. Political action committees have no place in Santa Rosa County. My humble opinion, the Supreme Court should have never allowed what they did to start out with.
So Jerry goes on to explain in his comments about several of the local people who were involved in this PAC that was, you know, closely associated with James Calkins, and, you know, why having these political action committees are so bad for local politics and how it shields from scrutiny the influence of local politics being particularly bad. This is at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting yesterday, the committee meeting is what they call it. And after he gets done with those comments, or toward the end of those comments, he finished up by directly telling James Calkins that, hey, if you move to some other locale in order to run for office there, which, by the way, the going rumor is that James Calkins, having soundly been defeated in District 3 in Santa Rosa County, is going to run for office in Walton County. That he is going to move his family to the east and go to a place where, you know, maybe they're a little bit more susceptible to his wares. And, that's the rumor as I hear it. I don't know if it's true or not. And no, I didn't reach out to ask him. I might actually see him today. We'll see. Maybe I'll ask him today. But in any case, Jerry finishes up with that. That's context you need to know in order to understand this comment.
In closing, wherever you land, as you're a grifter, wherever you land, I'll be there to explain to the local REC how you operate and how your wife operates. And I look forward to educating the people in wherever you wind up at. Thank you.
So the REC is the Republican Executive Committee. That's, you know, in any given county you have these people. Okay, so James Calkins just let it go and no big deal, and because it's the public forum and he's the vice chair sitting for Sam Parker, the chair who was not present at yesterday's meeting, he just let it go and didn't say anything, right? Or what's behind door number B, Monty? All right, here you go. And by the way, keep in mind that James will only be in office for another, 27 days, but who's counting? I think the 18th is the day, if I remember correctly. Anyway, here goes.
Thank you. I would like to make a comment that this gentleman that's talking...
Okay, can I just say this? This is always James's preface. I would like to make a comment. Well, he's the chair of the committee. Like, he doesn't have to... He can just make the comment. All right, I'm distracted. Go ahead.
Thank you. I would like to make a comment that this gentleman that's talking about PACs donated to a PAC out of Indiana that spent tons of money on negative mailers. So you want to know the definition of hypocrisy, Mr. Jerry? Look in the mirror. You're against PACs, yet you donated a PAC, and PACs have worked on your behalf to spread things for you.
Let me help you with that, since you have trouble telling the truth.
You didn't donate to any PACs?
I did not. And I will challenge you to go through my campaign finance report and prove that.
At the next meeting, I will.
Well, you're sitting here telling a lie.
No.
But we expect
you donated to a PAC.
I did not donate.
I have evidence of that.
No, you don't.
And I'll bring it back at the next meeting.
You do not.
Now, I will confess to you that I don't know who's telling the truth between the two of them, but you decide who you believe. And either way, it's still dramatic.
The entire world can go look at my campaign finance report, and you will not find that. Okay?
So don't sit
up here telling a lie about me.
Yeah.
Let me be abundantly clear with that.
So no,
do not
no
sit
PACs
here.
Have sent out mail supporting you.
I can't control the world.
Yeah.
You just said I donated to a political action committee. I have not. That is a
you
lie.
You are fully tied to PACs. And so you coming up here
that is a
calling
lie,
out
James.
Other people. PACs are what's wrong with politics. I agree with that.
Mr. Chairman,
that is
this,
a
is
lie.
The second, yeah. This is the second person from the public that you've engaged with. One you agree with, one you disagree with. I think this is completely unprofessional and uncalled for in this boardroom. We do not need to be engaging the people at the podium. We let them get up, we let them speak for 3 minutes, and we move to the next speaker. We can make notes, we can listen, we can analyze, we can reach back out to the individual, but I think this back and forth is absolutely ridiculous, and if it continues, I'm going to leave this dais.
Don't look now, but we have an adult on the dais. Colton Wright, voice of reason. By the way, I said I don't know who's got the truth of it, but I will say this. James Calkins made two allegations in the original barrage. He said you donated to PACs and PACs supported you. And Jerry Cusad never supported any PACs. And he backed off and he said, James Calkins backed off and he said, well, you're tied to them and they supported you. And Jerry's like, I'm not tied to them. And also, I can't control what some PAC advertises on my behalf, which would seem to indicate that just logically, going on the evidence in front of me, that would seem to indicate that James lied or misstated anyway when he said that Jerry Cooey donated PAC. Although he made a very specific claim about a PAC that he had evidence of, and Jerry, of course, denied it. Anyway, so Colton Wright, again, you know, voice of adulthood in the room.
The entire world can go look at my campaign finance report, and you will not find that.
Oh, sorry. That was the clip I just played. And by the way, there had been a prior person who came up and talking about the local option sales tax / impact fees vote, and, you know, James had very much agreed with him because, you know, James is against all these taxes. So, Colton threatens to leave if they continue. So there's a very easy way to keep him on the dais. They have four at the moment because Sam Parker's not there. You just shut up and leave it alone. No, come on now. You know better.
Thank you, Colton. Are you done?
I'm just letting out the facts. And
no, you're letting out a lie.
And you're more than welcome
you can check.
We'll go to the next speaker.
You can go through my entire campaign finance report.
Hey, Mr. Cooley.
You call me a liar.
We're going to the next person.
You call me a liar.
Respectfully, your time's up.
You started this.
Time's up. Thank you.
And somewhere in there, Colton
we'll
had
left.
We'll
go to the next person. Mr. Wright could come back now. All right, we're going to go to Chris Kerb.
Chris Kerb gets up there, who is a frequent flyer at county commission meetings in both counties, talking about flooding and stormwater with flood defenders. And right as he's about to get up to speak.
And Commissioner Wright is correct. I shouldn't respond and get in a debate with somebody. So I kind of agree with him on that.
I didn't hear apology exactly, but interesting note.
Is Commissioner Wright going to come back now? Is Commissioner Wright going to come back now?
That's on him. He's welcome to do whatever.
Well, you run him off.
It'd be sad if it weren't so sad. It'd be sad if it weren't so funny. I debated whether I wanted to play this set of clips or not, whether it was, but I thought, you know, it might be one of our last chances to hear from the leadership of District 3, County Commission, James Calkins, as he is leaving office unwillingly. May show up in a future, you know, locale. And also to my dear friends that I haven't met yet in Walton County, in case you have friends in Walton County who vote, and in case it does turn out that he moves there to run for county commission, word of the wise. 520 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
During Cybersecurity Awareness Month, LifeLock wants to give you helpful tips to protect your identity. Using multi-factor authentication can be a line of defense to help protect your personal information. But LifeLock offers comprehensive protection against identity theft. LifeLock not only alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information, but also fixes issues that arise, guaranteed or your money back. Protect your identity today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use my name, Clay, as the promo code. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Good morning, 523.
I'm doing all right, getting good grades. The future's so bright. I gotta wear shades. I gotta wear shades.
Man, how many decades has it been since you heard that song? 523 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, the NTSB says the helicopter that crashed in Texas into a radio tower on Sunday was on an air tour when that accident occurred.
There was a post-impact fire. This helicopter departed out of Ellington Airport, and there were four people on board, and tragically, all four were fatally injured. Our condolences go to the family and friends of those who are lost.
And that is NTSB investigator Brian Rutt. There was one child among those victims, and he said the wreckage is a complex scene, so the investigation is taking a while. Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign has declined to do a live interview with Elon Musk on X. That's according to billionaire investor Mark Cuban on CNBC. He said he told the Harris campaign he could try to connect them with Musk, but they said they didn't trust that he would stick to the topic of the election. And at the weekly update in North Carolina on recovery efforts after Hurricane Helene, Governor Roy Cooper said that the travel ban for parts of western North Carolina has now been lifted, but they are asking anybody who goes there to still be careful, as they say there's still over 400 roads closed.
You know what? I haven't looked lately. I was just, as you mentioned, I was just going to pull up the map and see what it looked like, because I don't remember if I told you this or not, but when, remember the roads that were going to be closed for like a year? You know,
right? Yeah.
Part of the stretch of Highway 40 going west out of there was supposed to be closed for a year. And then some of the other roads looked like they were going to be closed for, actually, they had increased the amount of time that it was going to be closed for all the way to like 3 years, parts of it. Wow. I think it was that stretch of 40 that goes up through the mountains was the part. But I was just, you know, looking to see if I could pull it up real quick and see what the, because I haven't looked at it in a little bit, but okay, so let's see, that stretch of 40, yeah, that's right. That stretch of 40 that goes west and north up towards Chattanooga, that on at least Google Maps says parts of it say September of 2025, parts of it say 2028.
Wow.
For the interstate to be closed. The other, God, there are still so many roads that are closed. December on some of the, I'm looking, these are some of the smaller roads. October 31st for highway, for a US, for Interstate 26 that goes north out of there. October 31st for some of the other smaller roads in the area. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's going to be a long time before they get back to even, you know, close to normal in that area. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, speaking of roads, this is a note for everybody who has to go to Hurlburt today or anywhere near it. Remember yesterday? I don't want to trigger anybody, but do you remember yesterday? 4 lanes reduced to 2 lanes, and what was it, an hour and a half delay, we figured? And then because of all the extra traffic that had gone around, like, it was worth going to I-10 to go around, right, to go to 85 if you're going east. And there had been a wreck on 10, and so that was a backup as well. I did talk to Ian Satter from FDOT yesterday, and I found out that this is just good news and bad news, okay? The good news is this is not a long-term project. The bad news is it is supposed to be the rest of the week. So, and he assured me that they are doing everything they can to work quickly. The reason I was told that they have the lanes actually closed off and they don't have like a maintenance of traffic plan or anything like that is because they're replacing some drainage pipes underneath the road that also have, they're resurfacing 98, but they're replacing drainage pipes underneath, and that's part of improving drainage and preventing flooding in the area, which of course is a good thing, okay? But there's no way to, like, keep the lanes open during rush hour or to switch them off onto the other side or anything like that is what I was told, okay? And so he said that it is scheduled to be all this week. They are hoping that it's less than the rest of this week because they recognize how bad things were yesterday. But if you're planning to go, I mean, if you work at Hurlburt, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, or if you got to go through that area going east to Eglin or something like that. I mean, I, you know, just good luck. But yeah, this same problem, I hate to say it's going to happen again today, but let me put it this way. If it's feasible for you to go a different way for the rest of the week, go a different way for the rest of the week. Is that fair? John, would you say that's a fair piece of advice for people?
Very fair.
Okay. And I'm trying to let you know early so you know how to adapt, you know, because when did the problem start? Like 6:30, right? It was pretty early yesterday. Yes. It was very early. Anyway, 5:28 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, we did, just continuing a very sad story. The two Growler, the pilot and the NFO, the Naval Flight Officer, the backseater, for that EA-18 electronic attack configuration, the Growler out of Whidbey Island. We, of course, had found out, you know, the Navy's very slow to release information. At first, we knew only that they had found the airframe wreckage. We did not, they did not say they had found the pilots. Now they say they have found the pilots and they have been both killed. We did not know yesterday who they were. Today, as of yesterday night, we did have an identification. Lieutenant Commander Lindsay Evans, call sign Miley, is the NFO, the backseater. Lieutenant Serena Doug, like Dig Doug, D-U-G, Wildman, the naval aviator, both 31 years old, both women, died on October 15th when their aircraft crashed near Mount Rainier. the service, the Navy described them both as trailblazing aviators. Lieutenant Evans, Lieutenant Commander Evans, was chosen to take part in an all-female Super Bowl flyover a couple years ago in 23. Evans went completed the 12-week Havoc graduate-level course at Naval Air Station Fallon in Nevada. That's kind of like the top gun for growlers. Became a growler tactics instructor, so very accomplished as the backseater. Later recognized 2024 Growler Tactics Instructor of the Year. She deployed on the Eisenhower that coordinated and executed multiple combat strikes to Houthi-controlled territories in Yemen, making her one of the few women to fly combat missions over land. And Lieutenant Weilman joined the Navy in 2022 through OCS, Officer Candidate School. Met her husband, who's also a pilot, during flight school. Reported the Zappers, that's the squadron, in 2022. And when the squadron deployed in 23 with Evans, she flew multiple strikes in Houthi-controlled territories in Yemen. Both fairly accomplished pilots. And, man, our heart goes out to the families and the Growler community and the whole aviation community, especially as we're connected to it.
Foster. Speaking in a meeting of faith leaders in North Carolina, former President Trump says America's Christians would suffer under a radical left Kamala Harris administration.
She's very destructive to religion. She's very destructive to Christianity and very destructive to evangelicals and to the Catholic Church.
Vice President Harris says the eroding of abortion rights is helping her win support from some Republican women.
You don't have to abandon your faith or deeply held beliefs to agree the government should not be telling women what to do with their body. So I do believe it is a compelling issue, especially when we consider the fact that for so many of us, our daughters are going to have fewer rights than their grandmother.
She had events with former Wyoming House Republican Liz Cheney in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Five people, including three children, are shot and killed at a home in Fall City, Washington. A 15-year-old suspect is in custody. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got clear skies, 58 degrees in Pensacola. There's a new program at UWF that'll give students some hands-on experience designing cutting-edge watercraft. It's the Watercraft and Vessel Engineering Project.
We imagine getting underway in about 6 to 8 months, where our students, our scientists, and other entrepreneurs in the area will start working on high-tech foiling opportunities to improve boat design in the region.
And that is Haas Center Executive Director Nicole Gillison. The program being funded by Triumph Gulf Coast, UWF says it would also expand research opportunities around maritime activities at the Port of Pensacola. Students would also have a chance to work with both professionals and teachers at the port, as well as the American Magic Sailing Team. UWF officials say they're hoping it would draw more maritime companies into Pensacola. Now, this week, we'll learn the state of the university at UWF. Dr. Martha Saunders, originally scheduled to give that speech a few weeks ago, but due to severe weather, she'll to our east, the campus was closed that day. She'll now be giving the state of the university address here on News Radio 92.3 on Wednesday morning during Pep Talk. She'll be discussing current and future progress at the university and more. You can catch that tomorrow morning at 9:30. FDLE officials say two Pensacola men are now facing child sex crime charges. 21-year-old Mason Radford and 52-year-old Ryan Trainer are both accused of sending messages to a person they believed was a 14-year-old girl and soliciting them for sex. In both cases, the girls were actually undercover law enforcement officers. Both men have been booked into the Escambia County Jail. Radford is being held on $475,000 bond. Trainer has been released on $50,000 bond. Governor Ron DeSantis joined a group of doctors opposed to Amendment 4 yesterday. He says he believes the measure is deceptive and vague.
This is something that is really a Pandora's box for bad policies.
And the governor shared his views on the amendment. He said it would allow minors to get abortions without parental consent, allow non-physicians to perform abortions, and eventually he believes it would lead to taxpayer-funded abortions. DeSantis also said the push for Amendment 4 is being led by out-of-state groups that are not disclosing its true implications. A 44-year-old man accused of impersonating a security guard at a Taylor Swift concert has been arrested. Ivan Mariotti was taken into custody last Friday night at the first of three weekend concerts in Miami. In court, His public defender said Mariotti had been hired as a guard.
They thought he was a security guard. It seems like someone even verified that they had hired him for that. There's nothing at all that meets the elements of this charge.
And the judge said the arrest report identified Mariotti as a driver, not a security guard. And, they believe he lied to police. He remains in jail until his immigration status is verified. It is 534 News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our market report this morning.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Honda is recalling 720,000 vehicles over concerns a high-pressure fuel pump may crack and leak fuel, increasing the risk of a fire. The recall covers certain Accord, Civic, and CR-V hybrid vehicles from the 2023 to 2025 model years. Next month, Chick-fil-A plans to launch a new app stocked with entertainment offerings like original animated shows, scripted podcasts, and games. The free app will be called Chick-fil-A Play. The fast casual chain says it's launching an entertainment app in part because of data showing Americans increasingly likely to scroll on their phones seeking entertainment during meals. On Wall Street, futures are lower, putting the S&P 500 on track for a second losing day as earnings season ramps up. Today, we'll get earnings reports from the likes of Verizon, General Motors, 3M, and Lockheed Martin. Yesterday was a mixed day for stocks. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Join Corey McKern, Artistic Director of Pensacola Opera, today at 10:30, talking about their upcoming event, Songs Down South, on Thursday, November 9th at the Gene and Paul Amos Performance Studio as part of the Foo Foo Festival. This event is a one-night-only Southern food and music festival where grand opera collides with Grand Ole Opry style.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You're invited to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This Tuesday, it's a brother and sister country music duo and Pensacola's very own Pearl and Rafe. Pearl brings the glitter, Rafe brings the grit, and together they bring the party wherever they go. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with Pearl and Rafe. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
There are approximately 5,000 media market radio stations in the country, and only one was recognized for excellence by winning the prestigious Marconi Award from the National Association of Broadcasters at a ceremony in New York City.
News Radio 92.3,
the Media Market Station of the Year.
Thanks to you.
This is Pensacola's news, weather, and traffic station.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Baby, and it feels so-
All right, first and foremost, thank you for coming out today. We're going to talk about a case that has been 3 years in the making. This is a long investigation. It was called Operation Last Supper, and the reason it was called that will become apparent here in just a little bit. So 5.6 kilos of cocaine, which is a lot, and then 67 grams of fentanyl, which everybody's heard the stories, one little speck of fentanyl can kill a human being.
So that was Sheriff Bob Johnson at a press conference on, was it Thursday, I think it was, talking about this massive drug bust that they got, 5 kilos of cocaine and a bunch of fentanyl and a bunch of other stuff. We talked to him yesterday. Sheriff Johnson, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So pretty big drug bust, huh?
Yeah, and the guy that we popped, the head of the ring, he goes by the name Preacher. That's why they called it the Last Supper.
I was going to ask you, because in the press conference, you didn't explain that, and I was going to ask you that. Okay, go on.
Yeah, Preacher. So he was a target for narcotics back when I was a sergeant in narcotics back in the late 90s, early 2000s. That's how long he's been slinging drugs in Santa Rosa County. And hopefully this time when he goes off, he's not coming back, and we won't have to worry with him.
Well, you know, you stayed in law enforcement and moved up to the top, and he stayed in law breaking and moved high up, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just not the same retirement plan.
I feel like I ought to play, you know, the Jeffersons theme music or something. You both are all moving on up. Of course, he's found a different outcome in the end, which I appreciate that. Also, you had mentioned that one of these guys was actually had claimed to be a victim of a home invasion violence, right?
Yeah, Preacher. He had been.
It was him. Okay.
He didn't claim that he really was. They busted in, tied him up, and he didn't know what they took from him. But I have a funny feeling it was probably drugs. Just, you know, me going out on a limb there. But he actually was. I think it was 2017 when that occurred.
Some unspecified personal items. I see.
Yeah.
You guys also, so it's a big, it's a good bust. Appreciate that. Oh, you know what? I meant to ask you this. The report came out, I think it was last week, that opioid deaths have declined by 12%, I think was the number. I'm going off memory now. And of course, at first, this seems like very good news. Maybe there's enforcement. Maybe there's awareness. Maybe fewer people are using fentanyl, maybe interdiction, trafficking, all that. There's another part of me that kind of worries that maybe, well, look, if you're killing off 100,000 people a year, that's a lot of customers being killed off, and maybe there are just fewer people around anymore to even use the drugs. Do you have a sense of which of those is more the reason?
Well, I think it's a combination of all of the above.
Okay.
I think we are putting out a lot of press and you know, telling people exactly what fentanyl can do to you and how it's getting mixed in and all the different things that, you know, ecstasy pills and everything else. So
yeah.
I think it's partly that, but it also, like you said, you're killing your customer base. It's kind of like tobacco. I mean, you know, a lot more fewer people smoke today than they did 30 years ago. And that's because a lot of people pass away because of cancer.
Right. It's a weird point of analysis, but you know, cigarettes kill you so slowly that at least you can keep making money off the people you're killing, whereas with fentanyl, you can't keep making money off them because you're killing them. I mean, you know, all the time.
Exactly.
So. Sheriff, you guys, I think, had a burglary that you guys got in the middle of?
Yeah, it was car burglaries in the Gulf Breeze area, and we got alerted to it. Somebody called, I believe, and deputies got in the area, and somebody ran on foot, and we ended up tracking them and catching them and arresting them, which is a good thing. And also retrieved some stolen property out of their car and got it back to the owner. So, yeah, it was a good job by the deputies.
I'll take the win. That's good. Hey, okay, yep. So I have a weird one to ask you. I just happened to have Good Morning America on, and they were showing this video. It was on a highway with some stop-and-go traffic, and this car zings in front of somebody in the left-hand lane and stops, and the car stopped, probably because they have sensing on, and, you know, there's, like, a very quick reaction. The car then proceeds to back up into the car and run into them with the trunk, and then pull forward, and then the people, there's other to this as well, but then they get out and act like the person ran into them. Lucky for the person in position number two, they had a dash cam.
So they had
the evidence. Is this kind of not, I mean, first of all, I assume you guys would be thrilled to have more people have dash cams, and number two, is this the kind of thing that you've ever heard of happening here?
No, not here, but not to say that it won't occur. But, yeah, that's crazy. And, you know, insurance fraud is a booming business in America.
Yeah.
So Everybody's looking for a payday.
And would I be right in assuming that as far as you're concerned, that more cameras are more cameras, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. More cameras, the better. Dash cams do, you know, that's the silent witness that nobody can say is lying. So if you have a dash cam, somebody backs into you and says, oh, my neck, just push a button and show the trooper and it's all over.
I always think about it when somebody does some crazy thing, like I'm driving on Burgess where it's two lanes west of Hilburn here in Escambia County, and somebody passes across the yellow, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm not fast enough with my camera, you know, with my phone. So I always think about that. Hey, last thing, this is a really sad note, but you guys lost a sergeant in the last week or so, didn't you?
Yeah, Katosha Young. She was a detention sergeant, and let me tell you, a great lady. One of those people, always had a smile on her face, so sweet and nice. And yeah, she had a medical issue and passed away last week. And we're going to have the funeral for her and her over in Pensacola this weekend. And yeah, it's just devastating when you lose somebody like that.
Well, and just, I mean, at a young age and so sudden and unexplained.
42.
And I mean, you know, your officers deal with death every day. They deal with the risk of death every day. And then, but you know, it's funny, you build up these defenses to handle the thing you expect. And then something like this happens, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you can't predict, nobody has an expiration date on the bottom of their foot. So you never know when you're going to go, but you know, it always hurts, especially at such a young age. And she had a young daughter. And, you know, that family obviously is reeling. And, of course, her sheriff's office family as well. And but, you know, when you have 500 people in an organization, unfortunately, you have people that pass. And, you know, it's part of life. And you have to deal with it. It's just, it's definitely not the good part of it.
Man, nobody's promised tomorrow. What an awful thing. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Sheriff, thank you as always for the time. Thanks for informing us and, you know, teaching us about the laws. We had a chance to talk to you every time. Sheriff Bob Johnson, we'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Yes, sir. Take care, Andrew.
Absolutely. 546 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you are thinking about changing careers or getting a degree or getting a different degree or taking a personal enrichment course in, you know, anything, English, physics, chemistry, business, Pensacola State College has all kinds of things to benefit you. Or maybe you never did go to school in the first place and you want to go now, right? Or for our family, the big benefit was dual enrollment. I'd never heard of dual enrollment before we lived here. It's something that I think is, you know, more common. Certainly these days it was not common at all when I was growing up. But it's where high school students go to college at a junior college or state college or community college, whichever you prefer to call it. And of course, we call them state colleges today for reasons. But they take college courses to get high school credit towards high school graduation and college credit when they wind up going to the university, and they can work towards an AA degree or just, you know, go to a four-year school if they want to do as well. But the point is, it's free. And my kids who were homeschooled, you know, they went to high school half the time at PSC and wound up getting a year and a half worth of college credit when they went to UWF, and no cost, not even for books, because they were high school students. I mean, it's a great program. So if that applies to your kids, take advantage of it. I mean, we love PSC, not just for that, but for, you know, all the athletic facilities that they have that we use, tennis courts, disc golf, all that kind of stuff. But PSC has a lot to offer, and they are a tremendous resource for you here in this community. So campuses in Pensacola, Warrington, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
With 0% financing on one of Volkswagen's most popular SUV crossovers, there's no better time to drive the VW Tiguan from Pete Bohr Imports. Get 0% APR for a full 60 months, plus an additional $500 of VW loyalty cash. And you'll be driving the 2024 Tiguan S for as low as $28,999. But if you'd rather forego the 0% APR, then take advantage of an additional discount for a low price of $27,499. And the 2025 Jetta S, Volkswagen's top-selling four-door sedan, is now available from a low $22,995. This month, the numbers are adding up to bigger savings from Pete Bohr Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Pete Bohr Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualified credit through BCI. Sale price before tag, tax, title, and agent fees. Royalty discounts for qualified VW owners. See dealer for details. Offer expires October 31st, 2024.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You're listening to the National Association of Broadcasters Marconi Award Media Market Station of the Year.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. This is what happens when you don't spank.
Good morning, 5:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. For those of you who have to travel anywhere near Hurlburt today, don't. I mean, I'd like to tell you otherwise, but the massive traffic problems that we had yesterday, hour and a half wait in some cases, were due to lane reductions from 4 lanes down to 2 lanes. Genius. I talked to FDOT yesterday, and Ian Satter told me that the lane reductions are expected throughout this week as they continue construction, both on resurfacing 98 and on putting some drainage pipes underneath the road. That's why they couldn't do a workaround, is because they have to rip up the road anyway to put the drainage pipes in. So, yeah. Also, maybe not the best job of messaging ahead of the problem to anybody, including maybe to the base. I don't really know, but good Lord. Anyway, so the workaround is, I mean, really around, and I don't know what to tell you. Although I was just talking to Brent Lane from Cat Country and my good friend, and he was saying he thinks they're not in place at the moment, and I don't know. Ian Satter told me that they're going to be doing it 24/7 to try to get it done as quickly as possible. Maybe they have taken a different approach. If you got eyes on it, let me know. There's already traffic backup going east, but I'd love to know if you see it personally. If they're not in place this morning, that would be really great news, although they're going to have to be in place sometime, you figure. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David? We'll get to David here in just a second. 437-1620. Sir? Oh, he's...
yes.
Know. Hey, there you go. Hey,
hello, everybody.
Good morning, David Wayne. How are you doing?
Good morning. Vice President Harris's campaign has declined an interview with Elon Musk on X. Mark Cuban tells CNBC that he attempted to connect the Harris campaign with Musk, but they didn't trust he would stick to the topic of the election. Liam Payne.
Wait. So she's afraid of off-script questions?
Well, yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We will do an interview with you only if we talk about these things. I get a teleprompter, though, right? And I get an earbud, right? Good Lord. Okay. All right.
Liam Payne apparently had multiple drugs in his body at the time of his death last week in Argentina. A partial autopsy has revealed that he had pink cocaine in his body.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was either.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that before.
It's not something that I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, lots of drugs, or several different kinds of drugs, it looked like, apparently.
Well, okay, so apparently pink cocaine is a mix of drugs that includes methamphetamine, ketamine, and MDMA.
There you go.
So, yeah, that's... and then he also had cocaine, crack, and benzodiazepine in his system. So that's, yeah, that's a lot. And jury selection continuing today in the trial of a former Marine accused of choking a homeless black man to death on a Manhattan subway train. Daniel Penny has pleaded not guilty to manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide. Jury selection could take up to 2 weeks in that case.
As I recall from the video, he was protecting people on the train, but... What a weird prosecution to move forward with. Really, really weird. All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. 555 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, file this in the yet-to-be-explained category. You remember how... Well, I don't know where to start on this. You remember how Bart Siders, the former IT director at Escambia County, left, was forced out, got resigned? I don't know, you know. And... remember he was an ally of Janice Gilley, or I should say this, when Janice Gilley got ousted by the county commission, he came to her defense, and then weird, he left after that. And you know, you've had a lot of things in IT related matters. You know, you had the disclosure of the you know, the text messages off of Jeff Bergosh. You've had all the drama over the connectivity with the broadband in the North End. Well, you know, now it turns out we've got another one resigned who was not in the office for very long. Studio 850 reporting, Russell Clark, the county chief information officer, has resigned apparently in a verbal resignation. Kind of unusual. Or a verbal got resignated. I don't know which. He was recruited back in October of last year. Kind of interesting note. John Singley writes for Studio 850. John is such a good, it's just good information, good journalist, reliable stuff. Anyway, one of the best sources of information in the county. He says, he actually quotes me in the story. At the time of his hiring back in October, County Administrator Wes Moreno told Andrew McKay at News Radio 92.3 that Clark had been highly recruited. Here's what Moreno had to say to McKay. Russell Clark comes to us. I mean, he's quoting me. I'd love it. I don't even remember all of this. Comes to Escambia County from Rutgers University. He's got a very extensive background. I think you're going to see a very high level of professionalism and leadership in the role of the chief information officer. This is Wes talking. I'm super excited about it. We've been in talks with him for a couple of months. I think he's going to be fantastic for us. Maybe I will go grab that interview so I can play the clip later. Anyway, Studio 850 asked for a copy of the public records, or records request of the resignation, was told that it was verbal. Why did somebody so highly recruited decide to leave Escambia County so soon? You know, not good at the job, doesn't get along with people, or got asked to do something he didn't want to do. Or wouldn't do for, you know, reasons. So, is this related to the broadband in the North End? I don't know. I'm speculating. I don't know what the reason was, but it's super weird. And also sort of falls in the general pattern of, if you had friends who were coming to work for Escambia County, you know, would you advise them, yay or nay? Well, there is a change in leadership coming. Maybe a big change. There's definitely some change coming, as we're going to get a whole nother new person on that board. And then we still have the election with Josh Robertson versus Stephen Berry for the 5th district, which is the North End. So I don't know. You know, we'll see. Anyway, an interesting note. 558 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. A ruling by the Florida State Supreme Court that the Escambia County School Board members do not have to testify in defense of their decision to remove certain books from the library system at the schools, including In Tango Makes Three, the Gay Penguin ode. I don't know. The kid's book, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, the decision basically says this is legislative immunity, that they don't have to explain themselves because individual board members are part of a unit that votes as a unit. And so they don't have to get on any kind of a stand and give the reasons for why, which was the idea was to prove that the school board members were acting out of discriminatory intent. And therefore, they, you know, that would be helpful to the plaintiff somehow or other. And now we've had the ruling that no. And sorry, not the Supreme Court in Florida. It's the United States Magistrate Judge Zachary Bolito saying that. So far, so good for the Escambia County School Board to not have to deal with that. At least